Welcome to another episode of Mad Props. This is going to be another guest. I know we've been going back and forth. We had a couple throwback episode, but now John Lumgare will be joining us. He's an animation director, award-winning animation director, and he's going to be talking to us about Jazz Cow, his new animated series coming out. So we're very excited to have him on. Remember to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Make sure you follow us on social media at Mad Props Pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Or follow Schnabel Studios on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. I'm messing up all over the place. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. You can find us on all of those. You can communicate with us on all those. Make sure you subscribe to the Schnabel Studios YouTube page and subscribe to Mad Props wherever you get your podcasts. I know I'm like all over the place right now. I'm very excited for this interview. I've been so crunched on time, as you could tell with the throwback episodes and the baseball one last week, and all this other stuff. To explain how crunched on time I am, if you're watching, you could see it if you're not watching. So the shirt I'm wearing is my baseball undershirt. I have a game tonight on this interview. So I'm doing this interview, jumping from this interview, getting in my car, driving down to the field, going to the field to play a baseball game. So like that's how that's how moving this stuff is. And so I'm just getting ready for that. And that's why I'm you know, all over the place. I just have so much going on right now, but I'm still trying to get these podcasts out every day and trying to get guests every time that I can. Again, have a guest now, which is really great. The baseball podcast last week was like mixed reviews. I think people were confused on what was going on, especially because I didn't name the podcast. So I'm going to reiterate, maybe once a month, however much it goes, we're going to do a baseball podcast. I will have more in-depth conversation than what I had on that. That was kind of just a rollout of the baseball podcast. It'll definitely have, I already have some lists that I've been going deep into and some topics I've been thinking deeply of that'll be more in the baseball podcast, which if they come out every month will be very deep and very insightful and much better than the first go around of that. But I enjoy doing it. I love baseball. Obviously I'm going to play tonight. I'm wearing a baseball hat as well. I'm very excited to go do that, today. But anyway, off the baseball, because that's for last week. If you want to send your feedback, Mad Props Pod on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you can tell us why it was good, why it sucked, why it was mediocre. I don't care. Do whatever you want. Just comment. All right. Going into this one, we are talking again with John Lumgare. He is the creator of Jazz Cow, which is coming out soon. He is going to talk to us more about the show, more about the characters, more about building. Something I've been really interested in for a long time getting on here is somebody that built a cartoon, other than Darren Nefcy, obviously. But someone else has built a cartoon from kind of the ground up without much backing or anything like that from a major player. So I'm very excited to get all that and to see how this comes together and stuff like that. And we're going to learn more about the show. So this is going to be a little different than it usually is. It's not going to be the same. Like we kind of go off the chart. We kind of go off the beaten path and stuff like that and talk about things that you don't know about the person, because I really want to learn more about this show and things like that. So we're probably going to stay pretty traditional on this one. I apologize if people are upset by that. I'm excited for people that are excited by that, but we'll probably go a little more non-traditional this time around, just so everybody knows. Not going to waste any more of your time. I've already wasted about 5 minutes of it. We're going to get right into this so we get as much of John as we can. You are listening to Mad Props. Stay right here. Stay seated or standing or driving, whatever you're doing. Stay right here. This is Mad Props.
I'm John Lumgare. Let's start the show.
John, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for joining us here on Mad Props. I'm really excited to have you on. I always love talking with people in animation. I love, especially they call it, you know, Western animation, but I'm a big fan of my generation's cartoons, which are like Cartoon Fridays and stuff like that, but also like the 2010s, 2015s. We had the pleasure of having Darren Nefcy on from Star vs. The Force of Evil. Like, I love that show. Like, I'm a big fan of animation. So when we got to talking and you were coming on, I was like, yeah, let's get him on. Let's get him talking. And I told you before the podcast, like, usually on this show, we don't really talk about what the person's known for, but I'm so interested in what you're known for that unfortunately you don't get that same treatment as everyone else, because you're going to have to talk about animation the entire time. So I hope you're up for that.
I'll talk about anything you like.
Perfect. Perfect. So when you reached out to me, you had a show called Jazz Cow that you were working on. And I just want to start right there. I want to start right in the heat of that. What is the show really about for maybe somebody that doesn't know? And how did you really come up with that idea?
So Jazz Cow is about a jazz playing cow. And he leads a resistance movement against big tech. So his nemesis, Dr. Pop, is a big tech guru. And he is trying to control the world with his algorithms and his fake filters and his apps and all of that. And so Jazz Cow and his bunch of misfit friends are leading a resistance movement to that. I mean, Jazz Cow doesn't want to do that, but he kind of has to. He'd rather just play a sax. So that's the setup of the show. And then the thing the pilot we're making is about a heist where he tries to get his sax back. So that's quite fun. And the origin of it came from a bunch of us late night having a laugh, which we did rather a lot. And as we were laughing away, we were talking about different cartoon characters and how they all end up with the same kind of powers, which are to kind of fight bad guys and do all this kind of crazy stuff. And we were like, why is it always glamorous animals? Why not a cow? And why is it those type of powers? Why not the power to play jazz? So that started as a joke, as most things in my life seem to. And then one of the guys, he was scribbling the stuff down. And then the next morning we wake up and we look at the stuff and then we're still laughing at it. And we're like, we've got to do something with this. So that was its origin.
And how did you take that and like make the whole storyline? Like, how do you come up with the idea of like, oh, this cow that can play jazz, that's a superpower. Like, how do you come up with the storyline of the villain and the friends and everything else?
So there's a bit of a complex evolution there, but as we started to flesh out who Jazz Cow was, we thought, okay, he needs a manager. So we created his manager, and we decided he'd have a hopeless manager that didn't know anything about jazz and didn't know what he was doing. And so that was the initial kind of thing. And then we thought, okay, you need a bad guy. What kind of bad guy is it? Well, the opposite of jazz is, well, jazz represents freedom, it represents creativity, it represents improvisation. And so what's the opposite of that? Well, the opposite of that is restriction and ultra planning and kind of a kind of dictatorial bad guy. And jazz is very underground, and it's creating the contrast of that. And so we thought, well, who's the nemesis? It's going to be a pop guy. So that was the original kind of setup. Also, he had a pet octopus, but that's that was just because we wanted to do that. And then it was, over the years we developed it in different ways. So Jazz Cow then started to have a band. And so we were like, and what are the characteristics of the band? And we wanted them to play off one another, so they weren't all identical. So every character has their own thing, if you like. And then a comedy scriptwriter, a guy called James Carey, who wrote for a BBC series, Miranda, and various different sitcoms. He really helped us fine-tune Dr. Pop, because when we first came up with the idea, he was very much modeled on the kind of authoritarian politician. And as we've moved on, that kind of more and more of that kind of dictatorial thinking has come out of big tech. So he's evolved more and more into a big tech kind of guy. But he's actually the same. It's just clarified the idea more. So I guess that was the trajectory. And then he's got people around him. So characters are not my problem. They kind of keep coming out of
Yeah, you just keep creating. It's not hard to figure out who's going to be where. It's Dr. Pop. Does he have a certain genre of music that you think should be associated to him? Because I was waiting for that when you were like, "What is the opposite of jazz?" I'm like, "I'm interested to hear what he's going to say the opposite of jazz
So
is."
see, the interesting thing is it's not the opposite, because the thing that is going to most irritate people who are into jazz is fake jazz rather than something that's the complete opposite. It's not like so it's the kind of Muzak, the elevator music. It's that thing is going to get under the skin of
The
jazz
commercial
people.
music, the commercial jazz kind, not like commercial as in like the commercial like used in TV ads or used on elevators or in restaurants or the stuff like that.
And I guess, and now it's the AI version of that. So it's interesting that Spotify, if you put in jazz into Spotify, they'll give you a few genuine, legit pieces of jazz, and then they'll start padding out the rest with AI generated nonsense. And they're doing that with every genre because they don't have to pay license fee for that. So they, and it's that's the thing that Dr. Pop is about. He's about the easy to consume, non-offensive, rather than the, oh, I better listen to this because this is actually going to challenge me and stretch me. It's
Almost like the easy buck kind of thing. Like, this is the easy route to take. This is the way that's going to get the most eyes. This is how I'm going to be able to be the most successful instead of the most creative in a way to put that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So Dr. Pop and Jazz Cow are enemies in this then. So without giving out too much of the story, because I don't want to give out much of the story at all, how do these two like meet? How do they intertwine? Like, how does Jazz Cow having the power of jazz help with this media mogul, this AI mogul over here? Like, what brings them together?
So the media mogul, or Dr. Pop, he wants to control the whole world. And there's this one place within Pop World, the Bohemian Quarter, which is where Jazz Cow lives. And that's a kind of like Vichy France. It's kind of semi-free, it's semi-autonomous, no one quite knows. There's lots of dodgy dealing going on there, lots of backstabbing and all the stuff you'd find in Casablanca, basically. And Dr. Pop wants to kind of just take over all of that. He wants to take over all the independent stores. He wants to remove all the jazz clubs. He wants it all gentrified in his with his steel and glass buildings, and that's the world he wants to create. And so Jazz Cow just wants to sit and play a sax and hang out with his friends and watch the sunset or whatever. And that's not an option. Well, that's increasingly not an option as Dr. Pop is trying to force his apps on the people. So to Dr. Pop, jazz is an irritant. Jazz Cow's an irritant. And to Jazz Cow, Dr. Pop's someone that's muscling in on his little
Yeah,
world that he's quite happy with.
trying to take over his music, trying to change his genre, and he doesn't like that.
And they have a bit of history together. But the other I had something occurred to me and it's jumped out of my head.
All good, all good. So if you come back to it, just stop in the middle and be like, "Ah, I got it." We'll go right back to it. But so let's go to the building side of it. So we kind of talked more about the actual show itself. Let's go to the building side of it. So you said it took you a couple of years. When did the idea formulate? When did you decide this could be a TV show? Like, we could do this. And when did you get it to actual production?
So it's a little bit of a windy road. So it was 2001 when we had the crazy conversation.
Wow.
And so all the silly drawings. And then it was later that year we made a tiny little short that wasn't that good, but we did a it was fun. And then we created a little It was about a year or two later, we created a little pack which I took to Annecy Animation Festival, and I met a number of broadcasters there, and I showed it, and I was like, "Oh yeah, we want to do this show." And a couple of them were interested, and then one of them was very interested and said, "Oh, can you send us more?" And that kind of you get really G'd up and excited, and it's like, "Oh wow, we're gonna get this series. It's gonna be really good." And at that point, we were aiming as a kids show, so 10-minute Cartoon Network type of show, and then that the person said, "Oh, no, our TV station's now going a different direction," and that felt like the end of the story. So put it in a drawer, and then was like, okay. But it was actually James Carey, the script writer. He saw the image that we were using to sell the thing, and he was like, "You have to make that." And so I redeveloped it from the ground up with a bit more knowledge. Oof, about 10 years later, and was like really kind of pushed into the kind of noir Casablanca-y kind of vibe. And I was just always struggled because Jazz Cow, it was this kind of thing of him be having this kind of cynical exterior but not really being cynical, and I couldn't kind of work out how that worked. And then I watched Casablanca and it was like, oh yeah, Rick only fakes being cynical, he's not actually cynical. And that was like a revelation to me, and so kind of tied it up the characters. But then it was like, well, where is my opportunity to pitch this? How can I get this in front of people? And so it kind of left, it was left in a mainly finished dish state. And then I got the opportunity to pitch it a couple of years ago. And so James came on board, did some great work on it, pushed it to the next level. A guy pitched it, and then various to streaming services, and they were all more interested in things that were not original, so they wanted stuff based on books or games or comics and stuff. So the feedback we got was, "Well, you could write a book," and I was like, "I could write a book, but this isn't a book." Other things are books, but this isn't a book. This is very much a, and by this stage, it'd become a proper sitcom for adults, like a 20-minute series. And so we were like, "Oh, what do we do next?" And so we were talking about what to do, and James was like, "Why don't we put it on Kickstarter? Why don't we push it that direction?" And I was like, "I don't really want to do that. I really don't want to be the." It's a whole nother world of skill set of trying to figure out how to do that, get an audience. Ugh, it just doesn't appeal to me. But I really want to make this, and I've got to do what I can to make this. So I've got to keep going. So then started working on figuring out how Kickstarter works, and that's how I've got to this position.
Yeah, because it's funny you say the Kickstarter thing, because when I saw that's where you were bringing it, there was two things that popped in my head. Is like, one, what happened that you didn't go to a streaming service? Because a lot of the stuff goes to the streaming service. So now I know they're looking. The IP thing, listen, we can get into a whole other conversation. I feel like I've gotten into a conversation about the IPs with almost every guest in the last 10 episodes, because it's crazy how much IPs are more important than original story. And we talk about, I've talked about it with people that are in the acting and in world and stuff. I've talked with the guy that draws Deadpool came on, and he talked about like there are people in the comic book industry that literally write comics with the purpose of them to become movies. Like that's the only reason they write it, and it kind of loses originality because you're just trying to pop. Every page has to pop, so they pick it up with one issue. So that could be a whole other conversation of how much it's crazy how creatives are being blocked in that way.
It's
But
got to
when I saw
swing
Kick,
back.
it's got to swing back, right? Like eventually people are going to get to, you're already seeing it. Star Wars fatigue, you see the Marvel fatigue, you see DC fatigue. You're seeing the fatigue happen over and over and over. So it makes sense that like it would swing back around eventually to actual real creative stuff that's original and new, and you can't find the story anywhere. That's another thing that kind of stinks. We could find the story in a book or a comic or something like that. Like, then you know the ending, really. You have to change the ending. And then now, as a writer of that, like, am I going to make the ending as good as I did in the book? Like, are people just going to hate it because the book was better? Like, there's all different kinds of things that, like, just combine together to make it so it's going to swing back. I believe that, too. I believe it's going to swing back around. I don't know when. I don't know how. But I think you're going to start seeing a lot more original. I think you're kind of seeing it in movies now. There's still a lot based on books, and there will always be based on books. But you're seeing more original screenplays coming out and stuff like that. So there's my little soapbox rant for you. Right. You brought up IPs. You brought up the right topic.
Barbieheimer,
kind of. Yeah, Barbieheimer, yeah. Exactly. And it was crazy with the Oscar voting. Not to go completely off track, but it was crazy with the Oscar voting that Barbie was not nominated for original screenplay because they said it's based on the toy. But then, like, Oppenheimer is based on an original screenplay. It's like, what? Like, it's not literally. Not only is it based on a book, but it's also historical. Like, it happened. Like, it's based on life. Like, Barbie was a story created. Like, that's, there's not actual Barbie land. Like, you can't actually go there. But yeah. Oh, sorry if I just ruined that for you, but I just thought that was funny that they didn't even nominate it for that when it's the most original out of the original screenplays. But anyway, soapbox and all. So going back for Kickstarter, so I saw Kickstarter and I was curious about how you even got into Kickstarter, because you don't really see a lot of people push Kickstarter as much as, like, what was it, 10 years ago? I feel like all projects were putting, you saw big celebrities putting their projects on Kickstarter crowdfunding sites. So you said that you were kind of pushed that way in one of the people. How did he actually convince you to do it? You said you didn't really want to do it. Was it because it seemed like the best way to be as creative as you could possibly be?
Yeah, I think it was that I was out of options. And I really want to make this. I think it's great. I think it kind of needs to happen with the current state of society and where things are at. I think it's, now is the time to see it happen. So I thought, let's just do it. It's better to just get on and make things rather than wait for people, because you can just be waiting forever and then things just never happen, right?
Yeah. How would you say the Kickstarter is doing? Are you seeing a lot of success with it? Is it need more of a push?
So I'm currently just collecting, building up the mailing lists. So it'll be launch in the in autumn, and yeah, it's, you ask me one day, I'll have a different answer to another day.
It's still kind of in the beginning process, is what you're saying. Yeah, like, just trying to get the people to notice it first before you say, help fund this to become an actual reality.
Yeah. And it's really hard. You do guessing games of, oh, I did this post and loads of people liked it and no one added themselves to the mailing list. Okay. Is that just I should take them as people who will support later? Or is this... Like, and then, of course, social media is rubbish these days because they only really like to show you ads. So if you put an external link, they don't want doing that because they want to take you, that'll take you off their platform. And yeah, so that's an added problem. And I think that's probably why there's fewer Kickstarters these days than a few years ago, because all the social, because it really was birthed off the back of social media.
Yeah, and just posting like, hey, support this link and go to it. And yet Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it is probably the biggest one of that. Like, not only do they not like you doing it, it's like the non-rules rule to not put a hyperlink in your profile or in your post or anything like that. Like, it's like, how am I supposed to tell you guys that my new episode's out if I can't put the link to the episode? You're actually gonna go search it? I know you're not gonna go search it. Like, you want to be lazy as possible. You want to just click it. I know these people.
And then it's in the comment. And then do you do it as a comment? Or they're probably onto that. And they're probably like, you know, we'll notice the first comment and then we're going to slow down because of that. I don't know how any of this works.
I don't either. Well, I know a lot of people don't like the links in the like at all on like Twitter, because people will put the spam links in there and you'll click it and you go to some spam site and you can't really, you don't, who knows the difference, right? Like, especially if it's a shortened link, which you want a shortened link because a long link takes up a lot of characters. If you only have 200 characters, like,
yeah,
I don't need all 200 being my link. Like, I need to put other things in there, let you know what you're going for. So yeah, I understand all that, and it's tough to push things like that. And we'll make sure that if you're listening, it's in the bottom, it's in the bio, go to the Kickstarter, go support this coming out, because we want to all get that support on there for everything we all do. So you're talking about social media. Do you push it through your own social media? Do you have a social media for this set up to help build it? Like, are you trying to get social media hype a little bit?
So trying. So it's mainly it through my company, which is Quirky Motion. And then I kind of repost from my own account, which is my name. And most of the time it's not seen by many people, which is a bit discouraging. I mean, Twitter tell you, that's the thing. They actually say this has been seen by 30 people. And you're like, okay, it's not many, is it?
Are you doing a lot of, so this is just in social media, so are you just doing kind of like Twitter? Are you really pushing, like, I feel like this is something you'd want in TikTok, Instagram Reels, YouTube Shorts, where you could put little, maybe even clips of the show that are already done to kind of show off the animation, show off like a scene, get people invested that way. I mean, you don't want to show too much of the episode because then no one's gonna go watch the episode, it's all on there, but things like that.
Yeah, so I've held off TikTok partly because I think TikTok's evil, but I will jump on TikTok in the close to the end and then just queue up lots of things because I think it rewards frequency.
It does.
I've not done much in the way of the shorts. I've put some things on and some things do quite well, but the problem with animation is if it's not good, then people are right off the whole thing. So when you've got test shots, you don't want people to think that's what it will look like because that's only a test shot or whatever. So that's one of the big challenges.
I just with the social media algorithm, as someone that works social media, Reels, videos, it's stupid because like Instagram rewards videos more than, you know, photos, what it was made for. It was literally a photo website. It was only photos. And now it rewards Reels more than if you put photos on there. And it's going to switch back, but it's just ridiculous. That's the only reason I ask if you're doing like Reels and stuff like that, because now if Twitter is trying to get on that as well, where they have their own video section, and Facebook did the Reels as well. And then YouTube Shorts, I think, are the most successful of all of them, all of the ones you could do. So
it's really interesting that, Instagram used to love animated GIFs, and now it doesn't even support animated GIFs.
No, it turns them right into a reel. Yeah, old accounts I have, I went back and looked, there were some GIFs on there, and it's like now they're reels that are like 3 seconds long. I'm like, it looks ridiculous. This looks ridiculous.
And it had, and then it added music, and the music, like, it wasn't in time with the music, and then it makes you look like you're someone that has got no idea how music and visuals go together.
I'm like, which is great for someone making an animated series.
Yeah, it's just like, you're making me look bad.
So what are some projects you had working up to this that got you prepared to take on your own full own full series?
So for the last 18, nearly 20 years, we've been running our company, and most of our stuff is for businesses, like big businesses or small businesses, charities, local government. And so we've done whole loads of just different animations. Some of them, most of them not particularly well known, but it's one of those things that now I kind of know the process pretty well after all those years. Yeah, I've done some short things that were serial things. So it's just a whole range of things over a long period of time.
But most, and that's where you made a lot of the connections that you've gotten as well. Because I saw you have some people that have worked on some pretty big projects, storyboard artists that have worked on some pretty big projects. It all came through this animations, your animation company making these different things.
Yes, and people you meet along the way, and you click. You do something with them, and you're like, oh yeah, I want to work with you again. And this is the kind of thing that people like to work on, so it's easier to get people to work on this than some boring corporate thing.
So you have this. So the Kickstarter is only for the pilot. It's not for the series, correct? Yeah. It's just the pilot episode. Is that the full funding, or is your company funding it, and then that's going to kind of be retaken to help fund for the rest of what you're doing?
Yeah, so it's going to be, basically, I won't pay myself through the things. So it would be enough to kind of get it over the line, but it'll be my company subsidizing a lot of things, including my time.
Yeah, and people you hire on, and voice actors and actresses and musicians. I'm sure that you don't want to pay for that out of pocket, because you'll go broke, because there's so much you have to pay for to get into animation and do all that stuff. So the pilot comes out in autumn, and it's for the viewing world. What do you want to take from this? Are you hoping it gets picked up? Are you hoping it gets noticed? Are you just want to get this story out there this badly that you just want to release it? Are you going to take it off Kickstarter and put it like on YouTube or anything like that? Like, what is the main goal of all this?
So the main goal is to have a full pilot that people can watch and kind of go, oh yeah, I want to see more of that. So that would be taken to streaming services and stuff. So initially it'll be for those that have supported, that they will get to see it with a kind of private link. And then further down the line, what we do with it, I guess it depends on what the reception is. We'll probably put it in festivals, that kind of stuff. So that usually opens up doors. That's the kind of direction we want to go.
And how do you feel going into that? I mean, now it's getting pushed to the autumn, obviously, but how do you feel going into that? Are you excited for this? Are you nervous? Do you feel very proud of the project? I know you've been working on it for a long time, but like, what is your personal feeling?
I feel both excited and slightly terrified. It's a lot of work. And if I don't raise the money, then that's going to be a challenge. So but I think I genuinely think it's a really, really good project. And I think it's going to be hilarious. And it's got all the elements that I think we need at this time. I think people need a good laugh. I think people need a time where they're not being preached to. I think people, I think the whole tech thing needs satirizing. I think we've all become kind of drones that are cyborgs that can't separate ourselves from our phones for very long, and that's not great.
No, we need to separate ourselves from the phone and the TikToks and stuff like that. It's funny when you said TikTok is evil, because I'm like, man, it is a death scroll machine. People just addicted to the site. So it's crazy how addictive that site is for some people. But I also understand, like, so when I first got out of college, I did a documentary series, and it had like some decent success, some not success at all. Like, there was a couple episodes that got into a bunch of festivals. One of them got into about 30-ish festivals. Another one got into about 10. The rest of them didn't get into any. So there's 10 episodes. So basically that and 200 there, right? Like, two of them did really well, and the other eight were like, so I was terrified going into it too. I mean, I was a young filmmaker, really didn't. The only reason I even started that project is because I didn't have a job, and I wanted something on my plate where I'm like, this is what I did when I didn't have a job. I went out and shot documentaries, and I did it all out of pocket. And it was very tough and very expensive and very, uh, very mind numbing. And so I understand that feeling going in where you're like, oh my God, like I spent so much time, I spent so much blood, sweat, and tears on this. Like, let's hope it continues. But I will say at the end of the day, this whole podcast was kind of based from that, and this is going pretty well. So at least I got something out of it. But I'm very excited to see this show. I mean, I've read up on it. You've sent me the links. I've seen all this stuff. When you told me it was being pushed to the autumn, not gonna lie, just a little upset. I'm like, oh, I thought it was supposed to come out like soon. I was like excited to see it all, but I'll be excited in the autumn as well to see it and to see everything going on. I'm excited to see the story, especially learning more about it. Like I said, the minute I started reading it and had you on, I was like, I'm going to ask the most basic of questions, which is so off brand for this podcast, but I just like want to know more about the whole process of starting basically from scratch. Like, you have your production company behind it, but it's not a Disney. There's no Cartoon Network or Viacom or anything behind it. It's just you doing something you love because you love the product, you love the character, you love the people in it, and you love the people you're working with. So I was very excited about all that. Just to give you your flowers there at the end of this. Yeah. So it's crazy to think someone not only doing it, it's not that it's crazy that you're doing it, because I, like I said, I did my own documentary series with a POS camera, and like, I actually have an episode that I filmed where the guy I filmed with was supposed to come up, couldn't do it. So my mother drove from New York to Boston, to Foxborough, Massachusetts, to help me shoot a documentary. Mind you, never ran a camera or anything, no production background whatsoever. Came out and shot it, because that's kind of what you got to do, right? You just got to find the people that are going to support you and help you as much as you can. And that's who we had at the time. So yeah. I totally understand like doing something crazy like that. But the thing that's crazy to me is how successful you were of getting through it and getting the animation, getting the characters, getting the actors, getting the song, getting the musician, like all that stuff that you're going through now or have gone through. Like, that's the thing that's crazy, is like, not, I don't think crazy is the right word for it. Impressive to me. That's the word. That's the thing that's impressive to me. I kept using crazy because you said crazy. I'm like, yeah, so that's not what I'm thinking. I think it's like, but how impressive it is for you to go through all that.
I think doing any of these things is slightly crazy, but I think it's like building Jenga blocks on top of one another. And you're like, can this tower stand?
Well, that's the age-old saying, right? Like, if you don't take a risk, how you can get anything done? You got to take the risk, and you have to accept the failure sometimes. But I have nothing but high hopes for this, just on what I've read and what you've said and stuff like that. And like I said, when you said it's coming out in the autumn before we started, I was like, oh, I thought this was coming out when we were talking, so I can go watch it right after we're done or something like that. But
well, even the autumn, that's when the production, providing that all happens, that's when the production will start. So you'll be able to see more and more over the course of probably about a year. So yeah, it'll be a slow process, but
it's all right. We'll get signed up on the Kickstarter. And for anybody else that's listening, you go to the bio, go to the Kickstarter, sign up, get yourself in line for that, because you're not going to want to miss when it comes out, because you're going to want to see everything this is 23 years in the making, that this whole thing is. You're going to want to see it all come together, get something original in your life as well. So, John, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here and telling us more about your project.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you, John, so much for joining us. Thank you all for listening. Again, make sure you subscribe to the podcast and follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Mad Props Pod. You can also find us at www.schnabelstudios.com/madpropspod. You can find the podcast, you can find the social media links, you can find the YouTube version of the podcast, you can find some articles written, and a bunch of other stuff we're going to try to build more along the way. So you can find that all at schnabelstudios.com/madpropspod. Also, be sure to follow Schnabel Studios on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, and YouTube at Schnabel Studios on all of those. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We have more stuff coming out, a lot of shorts going out of previous work we've done. I have some long forms I may be releasing of old work we've done as well. So definitely stick around for that if you want to see some old work, some new work, things like that coming out soon for the Schnabel Studios page. Sorry. I think I'm probably going to leave that in there too, me just checking my watch in the middle of the promotion. We really want to thank John for coming on and talking about his product. We want to thank everybody that was listening, that listened, everyone that subscribed. I want to thank you more than the people that listen, because you're the real MVPs out there subscribing to the podcast. If you're not subscribed, go hit that subscribe button. Helps us out tremendously, more than I realized once we switched from the podcast, Spotify podcasters, to Podbean. I realized how much viewership is great, but subscribers is golden in every way, shape, and form. So please subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. And make sure you follow us on all social medias. Keep up to date. It's going to be a very busy week coming up for me, as all the other weeks have been. So I'm a little, I don't know how this next week's episode's going to go. It'll get out there, whether it's me sitting in a hotel room talking with somebody or something else, but it'll get out there. Just not 100% sure how it's going to go just yet. Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you for joining. Wish me good luck on my baseball game. It'll be gone and done and over by the time you actually, I'll have played two games by the time you hear this. So if you want to know how that is, you know, if you comment and say, hey, how'd you do on your game this week? I'll give a update on how I did or something like that. If I do well enough to give an update, who knows? We'll see. Maybe I'll just put in the next baseball episode. I don't know. Make you guys listen to that if you're really interested in it. Anyway, thank you, John, for joining. Thank you all for listening. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, and we appreciate you being here. We'll see you next week right here on the Schnabel Studios feed and the Mad Props feed. This has been Mad Props. Deuces. See you later.